Tonight's episode of Radioactive Metal is dedicated to the memory of former Dope and Murder Dolls drummer Ben Graves.
What's up? This is Clint with the band Seven Dust. You're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a magical metal dust episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 506, and I'm Snowy White.
I'm Corrine.
And this is Aaron. And dear listeners, you may have noticed there was a pause. Rock could not be with us tonight.
Yeah, who would have known? Oh, shit, I forgot.
I know, but it's okay, you know. I know, we're all waiting, like, where's Rock? Where's he at? Don't worry, he'll be back next week. But we're steering the ship without him. And
God help
also,
us.
Guys, check this out. So, you know, off air we're talking, my anniversary's next week. I was trying to do things the last couple weeks, you know, for my wife for our anniversary, because I'll actually be gone while it's happening. And one of the things we did today is we had lunch at a little place called the Black Magic Cafe. They specialize in coffee there, and I think you know where this is going, because if you're going to call yourself the Black Magic Cafe, what you need to sell is the blackest coffee ever, which is True Cult Coffee, Mjork Helvete. And they don't sell it, so
yeah, I don't feel like they're authentic enough.
I know, you know, it's crazy, right? So, I do want to mention that tonight's episode of Radioactive Metal has been possessed once again by the demons of True Cult Coffee.
Yes. So,
dear listener, please go support True Cult Coffee, because that's how you support the show. TRVEKVLTCoffee.com or TRVE.KVLT.coffee on the Insta pages. Pretty easy to find out there. Have either one of you gotten to try Mjork Helvete yet? Because I know you've both had Cafe Storm, right?
No, my master.
Not yet. That's on its way.
And Snowy, I was listening to the description that you put out. You said the Cafe Storm has a little hint of chocolate. Was that correct?
Every chick loves chocolate.
Oh, yeah?
That I've heard. I mean, I love a good Hershey bar. What can I say? All right.
I hope you do like a good Hershey bar.
Yeah,
anyway. That's a whole other story.
Sure. All right, so Snowman, take it away. What's going on, brother?
Well, like you said, off
show
the
us
top
the way
top there. Unfortunately, only 3/4 of the four horsemen of the apocalypse is going to be able to join us tonight. Life has kind of caught up to our good buddy Rock, and you know it's kind of weird not hearing his voice. So like as we're doing our intros there, it's like holy shit, we're kind of thrown off.
Last time we did this, he was caught in a hurricane.
Yeah. Now it's something just as bad. The in-laws. Dun dun dun. Yeah. But I was thinking about this. You know what? The great thing about Rock not being here is we can talk about him now.
You know what I hate about Rock?
You know what I hate about Rock? Nothing. Fuck, he's a great guy. Love hanging out with him. He's an asset to the community and all that. Doesn't that just piss you off? Man, I miss him.
Yeah, God, I'm going to fucking blow your horn right now, because when's the last time you ever fucking hung out with him?
I'm so upset. Yeah.
I've just got to say, Rock, I've only been trying to do what you do for, what, 20 minutes now? And already, should be paid twice whatever we're paying
you. You're already sick of Creed and
I mean, man, you guys, it's crazy.
An extra piece of pocket lint. That's how much we're paying him.
All right, so
there we go. Let's
get into this metal fixins, man.
Okay, but before we do that, there was something going on up here that I just are either of you two fans of Queen of the Stone Age?
I'm not sure if I'm a big fan, but I'm aware of them.
Oh, okay, what about you, dear? Are you into that band at all?
No, but I know people who are.
Okay, well, the Winnipeg Jets up here, our National League hockey team, they're kicking ass and taking names in the playoffs. They've advanced to the conference finals. Okay. There is a Queen of the Stone Age concert just around the corner. And when it announced that, oh my God, if the Jets advance, okay, further into the playoffs, one of the home games in the next round is going to land on the Queens of the Stone Age date, and then the Jets just eliminated Nashville. So, needless to say, the Queens fans up here, not too happy because, their show has been canceled. Okay,
wow.
Canceled or rescheduled or who knows?
They rescheduled. But
yeah, because like I'm kind of split on this, okay, because I'm like, I hate to see a rock concert called off or canceled for anything, okay? But another part of me, the sports fan in me, is like, go Jets, go, you know? So I'm kind of like, okay, but it's like, I'm not going to the show. I'm not really a fan and all that. But then it hit me. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. May 22nd. Just my birthday, for the record. Oh, the fucking Slayer show. Oh, my God. What? Oh, no. So I found myself going to the schedule, checking the Jets. Home game. Oh, my God. Oh, okay, if they make it to game six by May 22nd, they will be in, they're playing Las Vegas next. So I was like, oh, good. Whew. I was getting nervous there. I thought maybe my birthday Slayer show was going to be canceled or rescheduled for the fucking hockey game. That I would have been pissed about.
I mean, come on, man. It's hockey and it's Canada.
Yeah, but no, it's Slayer on Snowy's birthday. That takes precedence over everything. but all is good. All is good. So if no one has anything further, then yes. Let's get on with our metal fix.
We've been very busy this week. Here's our metal fix.
Okay, who's got what and did what to who this week?
Creed, you want to rock it?
The only thing I'm rocketing is a new fucking job, a second job. I have a second job, guys.
Oh, are you okay? A repo man?
No. So to make extra money, because I'm in college, mm-hmm. and this new job that I got in replacement of my other job from prior, you know, the full-time job that closed the doors. I'm not getting paid as much as what I used to get paid. So needless to say, I had to pick up a second job. So that's my metal fix. And I hope, but the thing is, here's the thing. It's Uber, which means that I can work on my time. I have not done it yet, but from what I understand, the people who are going to be able to get in my car, they're going to be in for one hell of a ride.
So are you doing Uber with Midnight?
I am doing Uber with Midnight.
Can you charge more for that? Because I would think you could get a premium.
Here's the funny thing. No. As a matter of fact...
No, I don't like this. Sorry. No.
Look, as a matter of fact...
This can't be good.
What do you mean? What can't be good?
Yeah, isn't that like kind of dangerous? You working at night like that?
Oh, no, it's all hours of the day. You can work in like during the day. You can choose to turn your Uber on or off. Like I guess if for people to see if there's an Uber around, you could turn it off so you're not notified. You could also do something called Uber Eats and Uber Deliveries where you pick up people's packages and deliver them to the house. Or
I just don't like the idea. And I'm on the other side of the continent. I can't really tell you what to do, obviously.
Right.
I can't help but look out for all of my friends, and this is like, oh, I don't like this. Please be safe.
I've been in Ubers, and I've had, like, the greatest time in them, but I've never been an Uber driver. So I was like, you know what? If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something to help me take it, because fucking books are expensive.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah.
And dude, you know, when you had the perks of the flash shop and they're not quite there with the news shop, you kind of have to do something about it. So
I don't know if I like this. I think I'm going to have to get a second job just to put Kareen through college. I don't like doing this. So oh my God. See, I don't like this.
Kareen, here's what you should do, right? Because I think this would make you the most popular Uber out there, but you get an old police car and you Uber in the police car.
You can't.
There we go. I like that.
If, you can't.
Why not?
I think it'd be amazing. Yes, you can.
That's what we need to do. If there was an Uber police car, I would seriously have one bring me home once a week just to get my neighbors talking. Kid you not. I'd be all
like Kareen isn't brought home by the cops at least once a week anyway.
I have. You know what? Fun fact. I have never been brought home by the cops. And I'm
that's crap. Arrested. Oh, I don't buy that.
You can look at my record. No joke.
Never convicted.
Never convicted.
Never convicted.
Never convicted. Ever. No.
But
you know what, right. though? I also, what was I going to say with this? Well, because you know in the United States, too, Snowy, that you have to absolutely 100% as of right now pay for your fucking health insurance. And my doctor doesn't offer it. So... there's that.
Well, then you have to move up here.
Oh, man, I'm not fucking moving to the Cad's land.
Yes, why not?
She doesn't like maple syrup very much.
Oh, man, your currency sucks. No offense, Snowy. No offense. You just told me a a long-distance phone call was 15 Canadian dollars. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ, you might as well just fuck me in the ass for that price. Goddamn. That is fucking inflated.
You spend a week in Canada with me, and trust me, you're never going to want to step over that border again.
I've been to Canada, and I got to hang out in the airport. Man, that was the greatest.
That's totally the same thing.
What was it? Montreal, I got to hang out, or wherever that Drake fellow is from. Speaking of the Drake fellow and pop... music. I heard somebody was at Elysian Fields or whatever with his significant other this weekend.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Me neither.
Or Iliano.
Concerto.
Whoever the fucking person is that we were supposed to make fun of.
Oh! Okay.
And I can't remember.
Yeah, okay.
Is it Iliano?
Yes. Yes, and I imagine Aaron was getting to this right now.
Oh, shit. Sorry, Aaron, we took your spotlight.
No, I know.
What about you, dude? What about you, dude?
Who's Ileana?
Creed's pretty. What's your excuse? What's your metal fix, dude?
All right, man. So I've had a lot going on. One, I'm drinking Megadeth's Atoll Lomond. Am I pronouncing it?
I bet you are.
I finally found it down here. One of the guys I work with sent me a picture message. He's like, dude, look what I found. I'm like, where is it? What store? I will be there. And so I went and I picked up a 4-pack. And I am drinking the first one right now as we record this. And let me tell you, it's really good. I really like it.
Right on, Aaron.
I'm digging that. And then, so last night, as we record this, today's what, April 11th?
Mm-hmm.
So last night was April 10th.
Dude, isn't no April fucking 11th?
Oh,
where
fuck.
Are you? What's where
today?
Are you at?
Is this
May 11th.
I've had a lot of things going on the last couple months. I've lost track of time. But anyway, so May 11th? Yesterday was May 10th. All right, Third Man Records. Do you guys know who Third Man Records is or who proprietates Third Man Records?
Third Man Records.
Yeah.
No.
No.
All right, Jack White of the White Stripes. Is this ringing a bell?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I know exactly who that is.
So Jack White, big supporter, big fan of the indie record store. What?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on. Snowy, you don't know who the fuck Jack White is?
No, I said I did.
Oh, okay. You can continue, sir.
Thank you.
Have we met?
Anyway.
Like, no, I've never heard of one of the biggest rock stars. Like, no.
Jack White has his own record label, Third Man Records.
Okay.
Third Man Records, and I think I talked about him a little bit ago. He also started Third Man Pressing, where he's pressing records now. He opened it up in his hometown of Detroit, and specifically, and I got to give him a shout out for this, specifically went with manually operated presses so he could create jobs in the community. So he wanted presses that he needed people to operate, so you know he was creating jobs in his community, which I love him for that. But anyway, so big supporter of indie record stores, and they also, on Third Man Records, they put out the band Sleep, right? Which I picked up last night.
Oh.
How was that? How is that? I heard it's their first album in, 15 years?
It's been a while.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Because I'd heard about it. I kept seeing it because I saw it in Record Store Day, and I almost picked it up then. And then when I saw it was on Third Man, I'm like, well, Third Man's going to be here tonight, which I'll get to that part. And I'm like, I pulled up on Spotify just to listen to 30 seconds of it. And the first 30 seconds are static and noise. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm digging this. But it's a great, great record. The grooves are fantastic. But I digress. So Third Man has a rolling record store. So picture a food truck for records.
No way.
No way, man.
Nice.
And what they've been doing is they're following Jack White around town. Around on tour. And so they were down in Savannah, Georgia. Well, they were in Jacksonville, Florida, went to Savannah, Georgia, and then they were going to skip Charleston, where I'm at, and go up to Greenville, South Carolina. And then they're going to go to Charleston, West Virginia. So the guy who owns the local record store here, Monster Music, which, I got to give a shout out to Monster Music. I love that store. He started getting on the social media. He's like, are you sure you mean Charleston, West Virginia? You can't be skipping over us, right? So apparently that worked, and they got in contact. And so the people that run the truck left Savannah, Georgia at 6 p.m., drove up to Charleston, got to our store at 10 p.m. I don't know what time they left because I left at 11. They were still there. And opened up the rolling record store. And it was just a blast. So I'm hanging out at the record store last night. They had a beer tasting. So we're drinking beer in the record store. Third Man Records pulls up. I told you guys I bought Sleep last night. I bought the new Jack White record, and I think I also bought it's escaping me, but it's the Run DMC record that has Walk This Way and It's Tricky on it. I can't remember what it is, but I was something old, something new is what
the
I called
Aerosmith?
It last night. Well, yeah, that they're
well
covering.
The Aerosmith cover, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, their cover of it. Yeah, so that's what I picked up last night. And then I got a couple things at the Third Man record store, a rolling truck. No records, because I don't have a record player yet. I was hoping for CDs.
Yeah.
So I got the CDs inside at Monster. So again, that was just a great event, man. Like, you've got to hand it, because there's two girls running the truck. So they were already running the truck from 1 to 6 in another record store. Got on the road, drove straight up to us, get out of the truck. Happy as pleasant as can be, making this unscheduled stop. And, the people in Charleston, we came out in, full force. And it was really cool to brand to some people that I knew. It was just a blast, man. So really, that's my metal fix.
Right on.
That's cool, dude.
Definitely an experience.
Oh, it was so cool. Like, the fact that he does a rolling record store, and here's the other thing, it's been around since like 2011, so we're talking it's been going for 7 years. I've never run into it in 7 years. So
yeah, I never even heard of this.
Yeah, yeah, right? And so when I found out I was going to be here, I'm like, you know what? I need to go out. So I made it a point. Like once my wife got home from the PSA meeting, you know, kids are in bed. I drove back out because I, you know, it's one of those things. It's, you know, we've talked about this before. Like you feel the need to support your scene. It's like, I need to go support this store, show them, hey, thanks for being open, you know? And you know, support this record store that's supporting the local record stores. It was pretty cool because they even got there. They're like, hey, if you bought anything tonight at this record store, we'll give you an additional 10% off at ours because the whole point is to support the indie record stores. Like, it was just a class act, man. Class act the whole way around.
Right on, right on. Definitely sounds like it. And like I said, that's definitely an experience. Once you said it was like a food cart for record stores, or like for records, it's like, oh, nice.
It really was.
So we would be there every fucking day.
They even had menus printed up that told you what they had on the truck. Like little lemonade menus, and it's all set up with like the sandwich boards, like a food truck would be. You walk up to the window, you give them your order, they give it to you, they ring you up, just like a food truck. It was crazy.
Right on, right on. It's definitely something that I want to experience soon enough. And okay, you said you found the Megadeth beer.
Yeah.
The only thing that any of that I've ever found up in our liquor stores up here has been the Trooper beer. That's it. That's it.
I want me to come hang out in Canada? Why?
Well, first and foremost, because I'm here, and that's all the reason you need.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
That's right. That's right. That's
I'll
right.
give you a fist that's bump right. over the over.
There
over
we the go. There, rock and roll. Right.
Right. I'm surprised you haven't found it in up where you are, Snowy, because the Megadeth beer is a product of Canada. Like it's brewed and bottled in Canada.
I don't know what to tell you. Like I guess it just gets imported out, and like I'm always looking for it. I'm certainly looking for that Motorhead whiskey.
I haven't found that either.
I'm always in the store bugging them for it. It's like, okay, have you got this in yet? Have you got this in yet? Like. The website said it was supposed to be in last year. How come you don't have it? Like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? So
they probably think it's like some kind of raging alcohol. Where's the whiskey?
Where's that? Where is the God?
How are you good? Whiskey dick.
Hey. Guys don't like that expression.
Well, hey, whiskey makes my baby whiskey, but whiskey also makes your dick. Yeah.
But I'm making do. I got some Lemmy's going in my AC/DC Highway to Hell mug here. So I'm ready to rock and roll with my metal fix. The only thing I really want to discuss right now, because I'm itching to get to tonight's creature feature, Savage Master came through town earlier this week. And I have to admit, I've really only seen the name popping around, the underground and all that. And when you take a look at Savage Master and you see the logo and that name, okay, and they play that old school straight up traditional metal, and when you see like all their videos and promo pictures, it screams 80s. Totally. This band is ripped right out of 1985, I swear to God. So it's like I said, I'm the type of guy that a show is announced, it's like, okay, I haven't really heard of this band, but let me check them out, and if there's nothing stopping me, I'm going to go to this show. And I was blown away. I was really impressed. What Savage Master is, and I strongly recommend, we're going to drop a track soon. I strongly recommend going out and picking up their latest record, Creature of the Flame. Savage Master's fronted by this little spitball of fire named Stacy Savage. And the other band, and the other members of the band, the musicians are these big guys in midnight type mentors type hoods and the bullet belts and all that. So it makes for that really cool dichotomy between the band and all that. And like I said, it's total 80s old school metal. And what I was really blown away by Ms. Savage and all that, because like Mrs. White's 5 foot. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's just, mm-hmm. you know, sexy things come in small packages. Okay.
All right.
I think Mrs. White might have actually had about half an inch on Stacy Savage.
Wow.
I've noticed that, though, you get that a lot. Like, we see these female vocalists, we see them on video, we see them on stage. They look hot, big, bigger than life, you know, but then you see them face to face. And they're just little things. Like Christina Scabbia from Lacuna Coil, when I was face-to-face with her, it's like, oh, my God, you're just a little thing. I'm just going to put you in my pocket and take you home. You know? So, yeah. Like, Savage Master was Stacy Savage. She just went up on stage, and she just killed it for such a little thing. The support act was what they call a satanic speed metal band, called Bewitcher, which this is a band that I had not heard of at all. And then after I caught their set, it's like, why isn't this band signed to Hell's Headbangers? Like, if I was working A&R, they would be wrapped up, you know, with that label right now. Really impressed. I was blown away by both bands. I'm going to drop some tracks with them now. And with both bands, I kind of got what I spoke a couple episodes ago about interviewer's remorse, where it's like, I really can't make an interview. We can't interview everyone. We can't do this. We can't do that, you know? And then you see the band and then you go, fuck. Oh, I should have talked to them. I should have had them on. They would have been such a great band to have on. They kick ass. They just... Fortunately, I just found out just a couple days ago, my buddy Ducky called me up and said, dude, Bewitcher's coming back in August.
Oh, nice.
Oh, right on. Not only that, but the son of a gun is doing their merch as well. So right on. Right on for him. So... gonna drop a couple of tracks here just to show you exactly what I was blown away by. And when you get a chance to check these bands out, please do. From the Creatures of the Flames record, this is Savage Master with Burning Leather.
Flash! Head on!
check that out. That is Bewitcher from their latest self-titled record. That is Speed Till You Bleed. They are on tour right now with Savage Master. And as we speak, they are playing in Cleveland tonight. And our good buddies from a couple of the fine folks from Hell's Headbangers and from Heavy Metal Relics, Reaper and Bridget, they're at that show as we speak right now, no doubt, just tearing it up front row center. I wish we were with them. But we are doing this because we love it, because we get some really cool creature features.
Woohoo!
Yeah. As always, right now, still fresh on the new release rack is the new Seven Dust record, All I See Is War. Run, don't walk. Run, go and check this out. And this is another one of those bands that, you know, that's, I want to say a bucket list. Okay, now, Aaron, how familiar are you with Seven Dust? Like, this is, I don't want to say a modern band, because really, as we find out in the interview, they've been around like 20 years now.
Oh, yeah, long time. I saw them on, and it's terrible, I can't remember if I saw them on a Warped Tour or what it was, but I remember going with a buddy in another band to go see them.
Oh, right.
It was early on. It was on the first or second record. It was a good show.
Okay, well, out of all of us, when I think of the band Seven Dust, I think of Kareem.
Like this. Me?
This kind of seems
I'm not a pile of dust.
this seems to be kind of your wheelhouse sort of band.
Dude, they're awesome. I've seen their acoustic set. And right. I saw them at Earth Day Birthday in Orlando last year. I believe it was last year or the year before that. And they reached out to me on Twitter, too.
Oh, right on. Well, you can now say that this band has been on your radio show, because we had the good fortune just recently to sit down with founding member and guitarist Clint Lowry to give us all the 411 on the new record and everything else, whatever else that I could pick his brain about. It's definitely an interview that I will never forget, because I'm a Seven Dust fan myself, right back to the very beginning. So before we get there, though, how about the first single off of said All I See Is War record? This is the new Seven Dust with Dirty.
Becomes a are here right now in just a couple of days as we speak. I believe May 11th, your new record, All I See Is War, drops, right? I believe, yep. With that, I think this is like record number 12 for you guys now. When you think back to maybe your first two or three records, right, and you're a veteran, you've done it all, you've seen it all now, but back then, you know, how are you feeling as compared to like now? Do you have the same sort of anxiety, the same sort of butterflies, the same sort of excitement, or whatever word you want to use to describe it? Are you still that same way after all these years?
It's different. It's similar. I mean, the same anxieties, you know, the same hopes. It's always been my favorite time in terms of a process of a record and recording and releasing it, because it's the hopeful era. It's like, it's where you can, you know, you put this music together, you're anticipating everyone's response, you're hoping that it breaks new ground. You know, it's a really fun time, you know. And after a record comes out, it's like, you know, when a movie, you're waiting for a movie to come out for a long time, it comes out and you're like, oh man, you're kind of bummed, you got to wait for the next one to come out and sequel and this and that. But and it's for me, so, you know, I'm really excited. This is a good week. But at the same time, you've done it so many times, I would be lying if I didn't say it was a little, you know, it's not like it's redundant or it's just you find different things to be interested about, you know, and more now. Mm-hmm. We're just like kind of baffled that we still can release a record and people are interested in it. So now the excitement is, man, you know, we're still doing this, you know, we're still doing it and people are still, you know, doing interviews and this and that, you know, so we're humbled by it. We're still excited about it, but it's just, it's more about, man, we're still, you know, just surprised we're actually doing this deal, yeah.
Right. What can longtime fans expect from this record?
You know, there's going to be the common elements, the, you know, LeJean's vocal melodies, everything, the percussive heavy music that is our sound. That's all there. There's different elements in terms of the sonically, it's a bigger sound record than we've done. And that, you know, we credit that to Elvis and Jeff, Elvis Basquiat and Jeff Moore that did the record, incredible production team. So that in itself is going to probably enhance the experience a little better, you know, just listening to it. Mm-hmm. It's just a huge sound. It's not too much of a departure from things we've done in the past.
Right on. Definitely looking forward to it. The first couple tracks that, you know, are available publicly, I hope you're getting a really good response so far with it. Right on. When I see the title and all that, maybe this is just that 16-year-old punk rocker in me that comes out every once in a while. All I See Is War. Like, are you making a statement here, or is this just a bitchin' title?
It's actually a lyric in the song "Dirty," the first song we released, and mm-hmm. I wrote that. I'm like, you know, it's more of like, you know, an aggressive statement about in that particular setting of the song. It's just about being provoked and being like just kind of lashing out, and all you see is red kind of thing. And when I look at the rest of the lyrics in the record, you know, we use the word war a lot. It just kind of shows up. So I think that was kind of like when I saw that lyric, and you know, when I wrote that and I thought about the other songs, I'm like, it's kind of funny. I kind of chuckled. I'm like, that's, you know, that word is really all I see. All I see is war. It's like, I'm looking at all the lyric sheets and everything when they're all together. I'm like, man, we do say that word a lot. And I think it's just because it captures kind of where the conflict that we observe in everything, you know, most of the things that are going on right now.
Definitely. Yeah, that's kind of what it struck to me as well. At the beginning of this conversation, you mentioned how you were excited that you're still here and you're doing it and you're still living the dream, shall we say, and all that. It's been 20 years now. I believe you're just on the other side of 20 years with this band. What do you contribute that longevity to?
Someone asked me that the other day, and it was my mom, actually. She was like, what do you think? And I think it was like, you know, she's a musician, you know, she knows the band dynamic. And I was like, you know, I think it's a few things. I think when we started the band, we wanted to put together a group of guys that were easy to get along with. You know, I mean, as funny as it sounds like there's a lot of people that can play incredibly well, but there's not a lot of people that you can coexist with. So the foundation of when Morgan and Vinny were kind of throwing the band together, like, let's just get some guys we like. We've been in these bands with people we hate, but they can play, but they're just miserable, you know. So let's just do that. And so that was one thing. And then, you know, then it becomes a thing where, you know, the music, the integrity of the music, we always have. We never wanted to put out a record that seemed phoned in or anything else. And we have, you know, the ability to sing, we have the ability to do aggressive vocals, we have some of those things that, you know, when it was kind of fashionable to kind of sing and do acoustic stuff, we were able to do that. And when it was time to get aggressive, we were able to do that, you know, and we could kind of blend in a little bit with whatever trend is happening at the time. Not that we're trying to follow it, but we get influenced like everyone else, you know. So I think that may have a part in it, but it's really the core fan base, you know, the ones that have been with us this entire time or half the time, you know. It's been that's really, at the end of the day, where it stops and starts, was the people that are supporting it. The record lives, the band lives, as long as the people are behind it. And that's everything to me.
Right on, right on. Well, hopefully everyone's going to go out, get behind this record, and go and pick up a copy, definitely. When you guys first started, way back when, and I'm old enough to remember this now, your band and a couple other bands like yourselves have kind of got clumped into the whole new metal thing. And I didn't hear that in Seven Dust, and I'm like, where are they getting that? What was your initial reaction when you found out, why are we getting clumped in with this? This isn't us.
Well, I mean, the first reason is the timeline. We came out when when they started calling it new metal, we were coming out at that same time, so there was an obvious timeline connection to it. Like I said before, we were influenced by some of those sounds, like, you know, Korn being the pioneers of that, you know. They were definitely bleeding off on our, there were influences from them. Pantera, they, to me, like, they were like one of the first new metal bands to me, because there was a groove, there was a certain element to what they were doing that I think some of these other bands incorporated in their song, you know, their songs. Mm-hmm. But you know, yeah, I mean, I don't like that we're lobbed into it, but at the same time, I don't think it's a bad thing. It is what it is. I mean, when you try to resist it, people just tag you with it more, you know? So it's just like, yeah, we were a new metal band. Now we're this other metal band, like, or now we're a rock band. You know, I don't know. What do you like the music? You know, call it if you like. If you want us to be a new metal band, we're a new metal band. If you want us to be a rock band, we're that too. We're a lot of different things. You know, we did an acoustic record. If you were to release the acoustic record back when, you know, new metal was shining, that would have been the worst, you know. But,
right,
you know, in these times, it's, you know, we can do whatever. But, I mean, it doesn't bother me. I think it's kind of silly. Yeah.
Sure. Right, right. You just keep being you. That's the important thing. And any artist can tell you that for sure.
They're going to title it. They're going to put it in a category one way or the other, no matter what.
Yeah. Sure
now
enough,
we're
sure
just enough. A 20-year band. You know, we've been around 20 years. That's what people call us, you know, classic rock.
Oh, I never even thought of that. Like, wow. Oh, my God. You guys are going to be lumped in with the Stones and the Beatles someday. Holy shit. I never even thought of that.
I would hope, but it'll be more like Fog Hat.
There we go. I'll take that. Yeah. Speaking of which, all this lasting and being a veteran and all that, like, so much has changed within the industry. Like, back then, just the way things were, people were just buying more records. buying more albums back then. But on the other hand, you guys are also seeing success now on different kind of levels. Would you say that Seven Dust is in a better position now on a different playing field than back then, or vice versa, or anything?
I think what keeps us alive, thank God, is that initial fan base that we built during the times of record sales and big promotional dollars and all those things. So we grew up in that, and that's really some of the fans that we're still living off today. So our people show up at the shows, and that's really always been the lifeblood of the band. The record sales, even when we were selling records, like at high volume, we never saw that money anyway. The record companies kept it all, so it didn't mean anything to us. When we had that connection with the fans, you know, and the ticket sales and merch and the sea of the people, that was our business. That was the business mm-hmm. that we got into. So nothing has really changed in that world. I feel for some of the bands that are coming out now because they have a completely different dynamic. But it's being done. You know, it's being done, and they're finding ways to do it. Streaming is huge, and it's going to be everything, and it is everything. And you just embrace it and hopefully find a way for an artist to make it survive and do it. But, you know, sometimes the starving artist is the best artist to me.
Oh, definitely. You
know?
Yeah.
I think when there's desperation in it and you're not being handed millions of dollars to do a record, I think, you do it for the right reasons. You just do it because you love it.
For sure, for sure. Wise words. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose that as a man and an artist. And finally, I know you got a lot going on. I'm sure you're doing promotion all day today. I was just kind of curious. 20 years down the line here, how much left is in the Seven Dust gas tank? Like, how much longer can you think you can do this?
It's a question we ask ourselves a lot. And I don't know. I'd like to see us continuing this as long as we can. I really see it going into a more of a, you know, we have families and different things going on where we don't play as many shows. We do less touring, but we try to do it smart and do it in areas that still have a demand, and, you know, do the weekend warrior thing and maybe kind of do that. And I just don't see us, you know, grinding it out the way that we've done for all these years, you know, deep into the future. You know, right now we'll probably do the same thing. We'll do a healthy 18 months of cycle, but I'd like to see it personally go down to less touring and do really effective, because it's something we still love, but it's just, I don't want to oversaturate and just burn it out. I just would rather go out with dignity and play shows here and there and still have mm-hmm. the love for it on stage. Cause when it starts looking like it's tired and beat down, I don't want to do that. I don't want us to give out like that. I hate when I see bands get forced into that.
Thank you, everyone involved with that. And for Mr. Lowry to take a couple minutes out of his busy schedule, because that the new record, All I See Is War, like I said, is still fresh on the new release rack. He was out and about doing the press junket. And once again, thank you so much, you know, for everyone that made that possible. It was definitely, this is one of those interviews where that impresses Mrs. White. Like, I'll say, love, love, love. Like, Visceral Disgorge is coming to town. Like, I'm going to talk to them. And she's like, yes, dear. You know, but I say Seven Dust, Great White is coming to town, a band like that. And she's like, oh, really? Wow, that's awesome. All that. So yes, for the first time in a long time, my own wife was impressed by this show. So, and one of the things that makes it so impressive is that Seven Dust are actually one of those bands that, especially, it's cool in this day and age because they actually have a gold record. I think some of them might have actually have gone platinum. Okay, especially like those first three records of theirs went. I don't want to say the heyday, because the record industry has changed. And Seven Dust is still on top, just a little bit different than how success was defined two decades ago. Okay, but those two decades ago, like when everyone was selling records and having a jolly good time, there was a thing, and the younger audience might not know what this is, there was a thing called gold and platinum records. Okay, and what that is, and I'm sorry for laughing, because it's just, I don't know if anyone's ever going to get a gold or platinum record anymore. Way back when people were actually buying records, a platinum stature album in the United States was when you sold 1 million copies. A gold record was when you sold 500,000. It's a little bit different here in Canada because obviously with the population, vast, vast difference. A gold record in Canada is 100,000 copies, or a platinum record in Canada is 100,000 copies. A gold record is 50,000. And a diamond record in Canada is 1 million. A diamond record in the United States is what, 10 million, I think?
I don't have diamond here. It just goes gold, platinum, and multi-platinum for what I'm looking at.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, well, imagine having a diamond record in Canada. There's 40 million people in this country. That's it. There's more people, I think, in the states of California and New York than there is in all of Canada. So
God.
Imagine with 40 million people, if 1 million people bought your records, that's 1 in 40 bought the Bryan Adams Reckless album in this country.
Okay, that's makes sense.
That's mind-blowing.
That's,
you
a
know
big
what
deal.
I mean?
Okay.
It is. It really is. Yeah, and of course, over the years, records that started in the 70s on vinyl, and then when the format changed to cassette, and then the CDs, you know, bands like Pink Floyd, The Eagles, the first Guns N' Roses record, you know, the first two Van Halen records, all those bands, all those albums have gone diamond in the U.S. with over 10 million copies because of the format changes and all that. So there's a vast difference between that. And I'm looking at, when I was thinking about like some of the bands that like we've had, like once we had the interview with Seven Dust in the can, it's like, I think we've had a number of gold bands on the show, you know, and I started making my own little mental Rolodex, shall we say, of some of these bands. I know, like, the Scorpions have got a few gold records. Queensryche has a few gold records as well. I mentioned Great White earlier. Anthrax has, I think, State of Euphoria and Persistence of Time went gold, did it not, Aaron? I'm pretty sure they did.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure it did, too.
Stryper has a gold record. No, Stryper has three gold records in the U.S., as I think Sepultura's Roots, who we've had on the show as well. Both Max and Andres from Sepultura. So yeah, I think Fear Factory's Obsolete or D-Manufacturer went gold as well. I know they sold a hell of a lot. And up here in Canada, okay, we've had the Headpins on. That's gone gold up here, as well as Honeymoon Suite, Harlequin, and way back our first year, we had Triumph on, who is not only a big band in Canada, but they probably had a platinum record in the U.S. They're probably, you know, one of the bigger bands from that era, from Canada in the U.S., second only to Rush. Now, with all of that going through your little heads and all that, you ever think we're ever going to see another gold album awarded, particularly in the U.S.?
I think
so. Like, when you really think about it.
Oh, so check
with a new band?
So okay. I found this interesting because, you know, it's an interesting question you pose there, and you're right, Snow. I mean, like, when we were growing up, gold and platinum records were the thing. Like, that's how you knew, you know, the band was really killing it, you know? And so digital downloads, check this out. The RIAA, and that's the Recording Industry Association of America, between 2004 and 2006, the gold level for downloads was 100,000 and platinum was 200,000.
Okay, purchased?
Well, I'm guessing. I mean, they're saying, I would hope they mean purchase downloads.
Yeah. Illegal
downloads are through the roof.
Yeah, right? you can't. Yeah, see, that's just what I mean.
So, you know. And I can't remember at what point they did this, but then I guess it was 2006. They made the digital certifications match the physical certification. So now a digital download to go gold has to be 500,000 units. Now, check this out. We know that streaming is a big deal, right? Things like Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music.
Right.
100 streams equals one unit, and that counts towards your digital downloads and going gold digitally.
Okay, then I could probably see, eventually gold records once more and more people start getting into Spotify. I mean, lots of people are doing Spotify now, but I guess maybe once more and more people forsake iTunes or buying it digitally and just go 100% streaming, because like CD and vinyl now outsell digital downloads. That was announced a couple weeks ago. So yeah, maybe in that regard. Okay, at one time though, an artist could take a gold record to the bank.
Oh yeah.
I don't think they can do that now. But it got me thinking. What about, is a gold record ever going to get? Is any more physical products? And I hate the word product, sorry. But any more physical products, are we ever going to get a gold record for that? Man, and I have to say I doubt it.
I think it's going to be as few and far between. Because, I mean, look at what I was talking about in my Metal Fix, Jack White. Look at what he is doing for the physical record industry. I mean, we all talked about Record Store Day. You guys, you know, talked about it on episode 504. Like, Record Store Day is really putting people in the record stores again. I mean, just to see everybody come out 10 o'clock at night just to hang out with a record store on wheels, you know, to buy physical product. Like, that's what people were doing, you know. People were buying a lot of records. And Third Man's putting out great records. Like I said, they put out the Sleep record. They've got a couple Melvin's things that they put out. You know, like, they're putting out great music. So I think what it really comes down to is what's going to be the purchasing habit of the music fan of that genre is going to kind of dictate when we see or if we see another gold record. You know, like, I think in the metal world where we live, I think it's very possible we're still going to see gold and platinum records for a while, just because we actually go out to record stores, we hang out with each other, we talk, we still buy physical product. You know,
I think so too. That's kind of what I was thinking. And when you get some albums and bands like say Hatebreed, who some of those records are at 300,000, 400,000 copies. Okay, a couple more years of touring and selling them on the road and just pushing it and all that, you know, that might push a couple of those titles past that magic number. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? That's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if you're going to get a gold record, it's going to have to be like an album that was on the ground running already, that was already at the 300,000-400,000 mark. And all that. So it's
all right. I got a pop quiz for both you guys.
Oh, okay.
So, all right.
AC/DC, pretty big rock band, right? I mean, you've heard of him once or twice.
Right.
Michael Jackson, pretty big pop artist. You've heard of him, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to know, who do you think has more gold records, AC/DC or Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson.
All right. Snowy, what's your answer?
No, I'm going to say AC/DC because there's just more. Because Thriller can only go gold once. Like, Michael Jackson has had, what, Thriller, Bad.
He has a huge catalog. My kids have just discovered him. The catalog is huge.
I'm still going to say AC/DC because I think they have just more records that have gone gold.
Dude, Thriller was number one. It outbeat every single fucking record for the year.
Yeah, but it can only go gold once.
It could go gold once, but it can also go platinum.
Yeah, it can.
But the question was gold.
It's funny how you should mention these two bands, because the second biggest selling record of all time is Thriller. Third is Back in Black.
See? So
the Eagles' greatest hits a couple of years ago surpassed Thriller. I'm going to say AC/DC.
And Snowy, you would be correct. So AC/DC has 22 gold records, but Michael Jackson has a very respectable 15 gold records.
That's even more than I was thinking.
Yeah, so right. Who has more platinum?
So let's see here. Michael Jackson has 13 platinum. AC/DC has 20 platinum.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And AC/DC also has 12 multi-platinum and one diamond, but I still can't figure out what diamond really is.
Oh, it's got to be. It's Back in Black. It's got to be. And Thriller's gone diamond, too.
Let's see here. Yeah, Michael Jackson actually has 2 diamond records.
It's got to be Bad and...
it's got to be Bad and Thriller. Yeah, Bad and Thriller.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, like, because my kids are rediscovering those records, and I know this isn't metal, but, man, Bad still holds up. Like, it's a great record still. Like, still good stuff, man. It's almost like that became the blueprint for all pop music after it.
Well, the only thing I have at work is terrestrial radio. And when the song Thriller comes on, like, I don't go screaming for the off button when that song comes on.
Well, you can't.
Pretty much anything else by Michael Jackson.
Vincent Price is in it. He's the originator of horror.
That's why. That's why. And, of course, Eddie Van Halen had that wicked solo in Beat It as well.
Yep. You can't beat that. Ba-dum-ksh. All right.
Oh.
On that terrible joke, Snowy, the time that you hate the most is here.
It is, yeah. I think we got to wrap this up. But if you guys don't mind, let's go out on a killer track. Actually, available today. I believe this episode will air for the first time May 18th. Available today, the new At the Gates record, To Drink from the Night Itself, is now available. Go and get it. They are putting it out on the shelf right about now. Go and get it. Let's go with the title track from that. Hey, Rock. I can't wait to talk to you next week. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a magical metal dust episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Corrine.
Are you sure?
The last time I checked.
See, when Rock's not here, we get totally...
It throws me all off. We miss you. But that was great. Yeah. All right. And this is Aaron. And remember, dear listeners, this episode was possessed by the demons of True Cold Coffee. So go show them some love, because they're showing us some love.
So in the meantime and in between, I did all that. Signing off.
Visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.